We like to keep you up to date on all things Steelers here on Steelers Nation Radio. That's why it's called Steelers Nation Radio. But you're all curious out there about what's going on with the New England Patriots in Foxborough. So joining us now from the Boston Sports Journal is Christopher Price. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We got you, Chris?
Gotcha.
Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, no worries at all. No worries at all. My pleasure.
First off, tell us about the venture you guys got going on at the Boston Sports Journal. It's something very similar to what's going on here in Pittsburgh with the DK Sports Radio, but obviously Boston has its own brand of rabid sports fans. How have things been going thus far?
It's gone really well. I've been awed by the response that we've gotten. We launched just over a week ago. We had a week's worth of free preview content, and in that time we got 2,100 subscribers. And so the idea that a subscriber-driven sports website could succeed in Boston, it's been proven correct so far. But it's the whole thing has been fascinating because, you know, we really didn't know the sort of response that we were getting, but it's been great. Both myself, Greg Bedard, it was his brainchild, and then working with guys like Sean McAdam and Brian Robb, writing a hockey writer sooner rather than later. And the way this thing has been welcomed, it's been absolutely tremendous, and we look forward to bigger and better things down the road.
That's good to hear. It's a good staff on board, obviously, especially with you. And we talked before the AFC Championship game, and the information was very good. Let's start here with the New England Patriots at training camp. What's their weakness? Do they have one? What's their kryptonite? Is there anything that can be done to stop this force? USA Today says they're going 16-0. They're the best team of all time. What can be done?
I think they would like to be deeper at a handful of positions. There's still some questions as to who's going to be the guy who's going to play opposite linebacker at a linebacker opposite Dante Hightower. Excuse me, and that only has been reinforced in the last couple of days with the decision of Rob Ninkovich to retire. They're a little thin, I think, a little thinner than they'd like to be along the interior of the offensive line as well. They got a great year last year out of center David Andrews and left guard Joe Tooney, both of them played like 95% plus the snaps, but I don't know how much you can count on that from year to year. There's also some questions about the depth, specifically cornerback. You feel good about where you are with Stephon Gilmore as well as Malcolm Butler, but, can Jonathan Jones step up? Can Eric Rowe step up? Is Cyrus Jones, the second-round pick of a year ago, capable of moving into that role? So while on the surface they look, across the board like one of the better teams in the league, there are still some questions. Granted, those are what I call first-world NFL problems.
Right.
But still, these are the things that they would like to have tightened up between now and the start of the regular season.
Biggest offseason acquisition, Chris?
It's been Gilmore. I think Gilmore – well, you could go Gilmore and Cooks like 1 and 1A. Having a chance to watch Cooks over the first 4 days of training camp, it's clear that he has a chance to be a very special player in this offense. My colleague Greg Bedard wrote a great piece for our website, BostonSportsJournal.com, about Cooks and what he can bring to this offense, what he can do within the framework of the New England passing game, his ability to go deep, his ability to stretch the field, really looks to be impressive. Again, the first 4 days are any indication. They found themselves a home run hitter in that offense. Then the other side of the ball, Gilmore. Gilmore's the kind of guy who's going to work in tandem with Malcolm Butler. He's a little bit bigger than most cornerbacks the Patriots have favored over recent, at least in recent years. But he certainly has looked every bit the part of a number one, number two cornerback over the first few days of camp.
Christopher Price joining me from the Boston Sports Journal here on the Crowley Show. Is Tom Brady's arm falling off?
No, not yet. Not yet. A lot of avocado ice cream and magic pajamas, courtesy of Under Armour so far. He's looked really good through the first 4 days of camp. He's about to turn 40 here on August 3rd. And the feeling is that he's capable of playing another couple of years if they can continue to invest in the offensive line and they can continue to put the offensive difference makers around them, like Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman. They're able to invest in a steady and consistent run game with guys like Deion Lewis and James White. The feeling is that, as long as he doesn't get blindsided by a random linebacker on, Monday night somewhere along the way, that he's going to be able to continue to play at the same relatively high level that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Is the confidence in the offensive line there? Is that an area of the team that they think is a strength? Because I remember prior to the AFC Championship game last year, they had been challenged by the Houston Texans, obviously one of the better defenses in the National Football League, if not the best defense in the National Football League. Steelers weren't able to replicate that, but how is the offensive line?
The offensive line right now is pretty good. I will say this, kind of harkening back to what I was saying before. Andrews and Tooney played a lot of snaps last year. Again, both of them, I don't know the specific number, but both of them were upwards of 95% plus of the snaps over the course of the year. And I think to my mind, anyway, Tooney started to kind of wear down a little bit. So, you know, to hope for another year out of those two guys, I think might be, you know, a little bit, I don't want to say it's out of the question, but it's going to be a stretch. And so they need to find one of those guys. They need to be able to find like a Ted Karras, who's coming here, rookie last year, second year this year, has done a pretty good job working as a backup center, also kind of swing between two guard spots as well. So the offensive line right now is a position of strength. They feel very good about where they are. But again, they're a little bit thinner than they'd like to be along the interior. The tackles, they're in very good shape there. Left tackle Nate Solder going into another year here in New England, a former Pro Bowler. They really like where he is. Marcus Cannon is a fascinating guy within the framework of this offense. This is a guy who a couple of years ago people wanted out of here, but he was able to get back with Dante Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach, lose some weight, work on his technique, and he is their guy now at right tackle. He is their player of choice at right tackle. So interior, questions about depth, but the rest of the offensive line they feel pretty good about.
Were they surprised at all by Ninkovich's retirement?
No, I don't think they were. It's interesting because they went out and they got Coney Ealy in the offseason. They drafted Derek Rivers, two defensive end types who could kind of sort of do the same thing that Ninkovich did. Neither one of them had the positional versatility that Ninkovich did because he played inside linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive end, basically an edge defender. And so they were planning for this. I mean, Ninkovich had one more year left on his deal, and I think they would have, you know, preferred to have a guy like Rivers, the rookie at Youngstown State, really play more in his second year and kind of take fundamentally a redshirt year his first year. But I think he's going to see some time, provided he can also bring some special teams value to the table. There are guys like Ealy, Trey Flowers, who performed very well and showed a similar level of versatility moving in interior and exterior. They're going to have to get a pass rush from somewhere, though. You know, Ninkovich was a guy who kind of stumbled a little bit last year, but he was, you know, over the last couple of years anyway, one of their best pass rushers. And, you know, you go into an offseason where you lose Jabal Sheard and Rob Ninkovich, Jimmy Collins showed an ability to get after the pass. They're going to have a whole new generation of guys here kind of step up and assert themselves. And I think, you know, the best place to start right now is with Rivers, Flowers, and then Ealy can augment that this year, and then you kind of go from there.
Here's one of the questions that we've kind of knocked around amongst ourselves here on the Steelers Radio Network. Christopher Price joining me here on the Crowley Show. How do the New England Patriots fans look at the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because Steelers fans look at the Patriots as the big brother, as the team that's kind of beat on them over the course of the last decade plus. And the Steelers are used to doing that to other teams. It's not typically done to them. How do New England Patriots fans look at the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The Steelers are one of a handful. Let's say, you know, they're on the short list of AFC rivals that the Patriots need to get past. I would include on a year to any given year, there's usually 3, 4, 5 teams on that list. I think the Steelers are fairly consistent and have been fairly consistently on that list over the last decade or so. The Ravens, the Broncos, the Colts have been kind of on and off. They're part of that group of teams that New England knows it needs to get past. I think that there's a level of respect there, as much as there can be, between the Patriots and the Steelers from New England side, if you're a New England fan. But the weird thing is, right now, they don't have a singular counterpoint. And I'm talking about the Patriots, a singular counterpoint in the AFC. They don't have a default rival. Like when it was Brady versus Peyton, you could go to the Colts or the Broncos,
right,
or whatever it was. You know, the Steelers are not the Patriots' main rival right now, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't work up a good head of steam about them if they're facing them in the AFC Championship game come January.
Chris Price, Boston Sports Journal. Last couple of things for him here on the Crowley Show. I asked you about Brady's arm falling off, and you said that has not happened. Has Bill Belichick retired? At what point is he ever going to be satisfied? It's not satisfied after 5. How about 6? How about 7? When's this guy walking out the door?
That's a great question, and that's one of the undersold questions that I think, you know, that deserves more consideration when you talk about the Patriots and you talk about the window, and you know, we all talk about Brady and how long he's going to play. I think one of the larger questions, as you mentioned, is how long is Belichick going to continue to coach? I would say another 5 to 7 years. Really, I mean, the guy's 65, and he's already on record as saying that, you know, he doesn't want to be Marv Levy and, you know, coaching until he's 80. I think the idea of winning another one or two somewhere along the way, I think that would please him, you know, to no end. But then I don't see him, you know, going much past, like I said, another 5 to 7 years. I think that, you know, we're coming to the end of the window. It's just a matter of when. Like I said before, I think Brady's capable of playing another 2, maybe 3 years. I think Belichick's going to be around for another 5 to 7. I mean, he still likes it. He still likes being that teacher. He still likes, you know, this is his favorite time of year, you know, training camp, teaching, getting in there with positional guys and putting the game plan into place.
Chris, really appreciate everything. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the program. Good luck with everything going on, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to speak later on this year.
Sounds good. Take care, and I look forward to it.
As do I. There he goes, Christopher Price, Boston Sports Journal. They're going after the DK model. We'll see how it goes. Coming up next, we'll keep you up to speed with everything that's going on here at Steelers Camp. We've got, from the USA Today, at the bottom of the hour, Lorenzo Reyes. So do not miss that. A jam-packed hour still on the way here on the Crowley Show.